All right, so a new thing I'm doing now is called Fan Friday, and I thought no better person to start with than Derek Coe, one of the best Cane fans you're gonna find. You know, if you know Miami Hurricane football, those players, every single one of them, I promise you, they know Derek Coe. What's up, brother? How you doing?
What's up, Ryan, man? I appreciate that, man.
No, for sure. I mean, look. I'm telling you, if you've been around Miami football long enough, you know Derek Coe. I mean, you're at all the games, at all of our the events, you know, and the players don't just, oh, I see you and know that guy. No, they know you personally, you know.
Right.
You have had a relationship for a while now. We talk about different things, you know, and I know that you have relationships with former players. That's something else that we're going to go into as well. But first, you know, I just want to start off with like, you know, how was your upbringing? You know, where did you grow up? How did you become a Canes fan? You know, how did you become a diehard Cane fan at that?
So obviously I was born in Rochester, New York. My grandfather worked at Kodak for over 50 years, and when he decided to retire, he decided to come to Fort Lauderdale, bought a couple condos down on the beach. When I was about 5 years old, my grandfather passed away. He had a massive heart attack. So we drove down for the funeral, and then my parents are like, "Well, this ain't nothing like New York. Like, this is sunshine." So they decided to, stay down here. And I grew up in Lauderhill. Kind of in Broward County, so kind of like moved a couple of spots around when I was younger. And as I got into middle school, that's when I really fell in love with UM. And it was because of one of the first games I ever watched. And I played Little League, I played Pee Wee ball and things like that. But watching like the '86 Fiesta Bowl and just seeing like the mantra that the Hurricanes had with the fatigues and just Jerome Brown and just like that era where like it was Miami against everybody, right? Like I kind of took like I took notice to that. I'm like, man, like this is pretty cool, man. Like I want to be like one of these dudes one day. And I fell in love with UM kind of from there. But as I went to middle school, I developed a relationship with a kid named Tuan Russell. Obviously he played at the University of Miami, wore number 45. Went on to play for the Miami Dolphins, but him and I were best friends in middle school. We were entrepreneurs. We would sell candy to kids, every day, things like that. And then as he went to high school, he went to St. Thomas. I went to Bord Anderson. Again, still watching him play and I played. And then, when he decided to commit to the University of Miami, that just kind of solidified some stuff. So it was my relationship with Tuan and then watching him, get better and better and and get an opportunity to play at the University of Miami. I'm like, man, that's one of my best friends, man. I gotta represent with this dude, man. And, I started going to games when I was like 17 years old, like a junior in high school. And from then it just kind of carried on. And obviously when Tuan started playing, I went more and more. And then it just became like such a habit. Like that's all I decided that I want to do.
Man, that is awesome. You know, I see so many times you at the game, you're sitting in that corner, you know, right there where our tunnel is. Why that corner?
I mean, listen, it's like cane walk, right? Like there's just spots that you have to be at. And, when they implemented cane walk back, I believe it was 2013, give or take around there. Like I wanted to be all the way at the end. I wanted to be that last person like the players and coaches saw before they went into the stadium. And, kind of like now at that corner, I wanted to be the first person that they saw, like when they got ready to run through that smoke, like I wanted to be the last face that cane walk. But I wanted to see that first face when they're running through the smoke.
Because I'm not gonna lie, like I bring that up because I mean that's almost known as Derek's corner, you
That's
know?
Coe's corner, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's his corner, that's his seats. You know, we'll
Yeah,
see
man.
you, your wife, and your son. And again, you know, we talk about the biggest Miami Hurricanes fans, your son, Kane.
Yeah, man.
You know, like if that ain't a testament to how big of a Kane fan you are,
Right.
I don't know what is,
And
you know?
I have to give respect and a shout out to my wife for that because, obviously, we named him Grayson, but, when we were thinking of middle names, the first thing I thought was like, I'm just gonna name him Kane. But you know how moms are, like,
Oh, of
they're
course.
like, well, let me think about it. She was like right on board. She's like, you do it. She's like, I'll grab the first name, you just go ahead and put the middle name. And I said, what's Kane? And like, that's how it went on that. So I'll give Maria a lot of credit for that.
Hey, you know what? I give her credit too, because that is to name, you know, to be able to allow someone to do that. I mean, that is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody knows him as
Kane.
Yeah. You know, his first name is something else. He chose the first name, but he didn't get to choose what he goes as.
That's right. That's right.
No, but that's awesome. So, again, you know, you're growing up, you're going to all these games. How did you build a relationship with all these players that you have?
You know, like I said, I started going games, you know, 1991-ish. I was like 17 years old. You know, I started going, I was trickling to games. I mean, obviously from Broward, I didn't have a car at that time. You know, I was only 17. You know, so I would get rides down there, or we would carpool. We'd go with friends. And, you know, as I started getting a little older and I finally got a car, it really wasn't until the 98 season. And you got to remember, Miami went on probation after the 94 season because, like, the Pell Grant scandal and things like that. You know, so those are the years where, again, you're watching Miami win a national championship in 91. You see them lose to Alabama in 92, or else they go back-to-back. You know, then the 93, 94, 95, 96, you saw good players, the people like Ray Lewis. And, you know, there was players that came through the university, just really didn't have the success at that point, right, because of the probations and stuff. 97, I remember FSU beating us like 47-0. You know, but again, I was still like, just there'll be an opportunity for them to get better and better. And then the 98 season rolled through, and, you know, we went up to Syracuse. We got beat by Syracuse, but there was a hurricane that postponed the game against UCLA. And if you remember in 98, UCLA, I think, was number 2 in the country at that time. And they rescheduled that game to the very last game of the year. So UCLA comes down, you know, we're over there in the West End zone. There might be 40,000 fans. We just got shellacked by Syracuse, like 66-13. But then, you know, UCLA comes into town and we beat them. I mean, Edge runs for 299, like just Santana was like balling. Like, we stormed the field after that game, and like that excitement was just there. So, you know, you start seeing some of these players and things like that. So the following year, we started like hanging out after the bus, the same thing like we do now, right? So, you know, my biggest thing is at the Orange Bowl, the traffic would take you like an hour, hour and a half to get outside of the Orange Bowl because the traffic was just so bad. So I'm like, well, is there anything we can figure out to do for an hour, hour and a half instead of sitting in our car? And then one of my buddies like, man, I wonder where the players come out. I'm like, I don't know, but I'll find out. So I started asking some questions, and they told us where the tunnel was, where the buses were going to be at. So we just started kind of going down there and just kind of hanging out, right? Waiting for players, taking some pictures. Back then it was the old disposable cameras, you know, so we would take photos and things like that. But we started building relationships with the event staff people. So the following year, 99, you know, they started letting us kind of like get up into the front, like time for time, they let you kind of get in the tunnel. So like you just start, hey, you know, and again, I was into recruiting. So you would see all these kids as freshmen. Now they're sophomores, you know, there's just different. You know, you start building relationships and building relationships. Same thing, like, you know, obviously, even now, the young kids come to Miami, you build a relationship. I don't care if you're a 5-star kid. I don't care if you're a walk-on. You put that U on your helmet, I'm going to support you and I'm going to respect you. So it was always those type of things for me, is just showing respect to the players, win or lose. And I developed some great relationships from back in the early 2000s. To this day, I have a great relationship with a lot of former players, you know, like, from, like, you guys call them the old heads, right? All them old heads that were back then. Like, I'm in a fantasy football group with a bunch of old heads like me. This is guys that have played in the NFL, that are in the NFL Hall of Fame, that I'm in a fantasy football league with. Like, are you kidding me? You know, but it's pretty cool when you think about it. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. 100%. I know. I feel like you're talking about Vince, maybe.
My man.
Yeah, okay, that's what I figured. Because I know that relationship with you and him,
yeah,
I mean, since day one, I mean, y'all have been very, very close from what I've seen. I remember being at the Florida-Miami game in 2019, my first game.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you talking to Vince right there on the sideline. I'm like, you know, that's when I first got to know you. I'm like, who is this, you know? And I see him talking to Vince, like, Vince is over there chatting up. Like, I think he told a security guard, like, hey, no, like, I'm talking, this is family right here.
Facts.
You know, him, I was like,
facts. Jesus, you know?
No, for sure. That's pretty cool. Well, tell me, I mean, obviously you've been fan for a very long time, and your early years are some of the best years of Miami football. During those years where it got really, really hard, how hard was it as a fan to stay consistent, because win or lose, I mean, you were at every game.
Right. You know, and I think that's where it comes down to, like, how true of a fan are you? You know, are you a bandwagon? Are you a fair weather fan? Like, what kind of fan are you? Because to me, if you're a fan, you're a fan through and through. Either you're there when they're winning and you're there when they're losing, or you're only there when they're winning and when they're on the highs, right? I'm there for the highs of the highs and the lows of lows. Because to me, it's not about the wins and losses for the University of Miami football team. Obviously, I would like to see them succeed and be undefeated year after year after year. But I understand the game of football as well. I understand that I'm a fan. I'm in the stands. My job is support and root and cheer. I'm not out there throwing, catching, tackling, running, right? So if I can do my part, hopefully that encourages the student athletes to do their part. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I've seen the highs of highs, and I've seen some really lows of lows. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, the 01 national championship game, then – you know, the following year, I'm out in Tempe, Arizona, where we get a flag called on Glenn Sharp and we lose the 02 national championship in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. You know, then I've seen, you know, some really good wins. I remember 2017, like, you know, we kind of went on this run, you know. But then again, like, you look at some of the other games. I remember the Clemson game and I believe 2016, where we're getting beat 58-0. And I stay there to the triple zeros. And at the end of the game, I do the same thing like I normally do. I walk out there. I zap out the boys, and I'm like, hey, man, I'll see you next week, you know?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. As a player, we appreciate that more than anything because we know that we're going to get all that stuff nowadays. It wasn't like that back then with the Twitter and stuff like that and Instagram, DMs and stuff like that. We appreciate those fans that are the ones that are, you know, diehard and ride with us no matter what, win or lose. Because, yeah. Look, y'all understand that we don't want to lose. We don't. All right. But it happens, you know, and sometimes you're on the bad side of things. All right. Sometimes it's not a good year. And to have those fans still there behind you, it gives you a little extra to go and play for.
Right.
You know, because you never want to disappoint the fans, you know, and honestly, it helps a lot. It truly, yeah. Truly does. You know, and one thing I wanted to ask you really is your definition of a true fan. You know, what does a true fan do? You know, how does he treat opponents' fans? How does he treat the players, the coaches, win or lose? You know, if you're beating a team's butt, how do you treat the other's fans? Or how do you treat those players? You know, what is it? How is it?
You know, obviously as an individual who like loves the University of Miami, like I'm gonna be like as true as I can be. Like I'm gonna be thorough, I'm gonna be supportive. You know, listen, I'll call a spade, right? Because I think you have to, right? But in no way will you ever see me blasting a student athlete on social media. That's just for what reason? Like, again, that goes back to my previous comment where I'm not out there running, throwing, catching, you know, blocking. Like, I'm a fan, right? So for me to throw shade or throw stones at an individual going out there and doing their best, like, that doesn't do anything for me. As a fan, I think we have a responsibility too, though, is – not only to our school, but also to opposing fans as well, whether we're on the we're home or we're on the road. You know, I remember last year, 2 years ago, we went out to A&M, and those fans treated us phenomenally. Like, when I tell you that was probably one of the most hospitable, you know, away environments that I've ever been to, it was. I mean, obviously, 2002, we went out to Tennessee, and those people treated us the same way. We had all orange and green on. They were inviting us to barbecues. They're like, hey, you guys want to plate as we're walking by? Same thing that happened at A&M, right? So I think it depends on who you're playing. Like when I go to Tallahassee, do you think I'm showing respect to those fans? Absolutely not. When we went up to Florida last week, do you think I was showing those fans respect? Absolutely not. So I think it comes like a time and a place in order to carry yourself a certain way, depending on who you're playing, whether it's Notre Dame, Florida State, like, you know, you're not getting any respect from me. You know what I mean? But, you know, and again, like, there's so many good fans out there, like some genuine fans that you know, live and breathe Miami football or Miami basketball or baseball. Like, you know, my boy Dolphin Derek, you know, he's one of my ride or dies. You know, everybody knows who JD is. My boy Shane Robinson. There's just people out there that just, you know, like, that love the university. You know what I mean? And, you know, I have a core group of friends that will, like, just do whatever we can to help support this university, you know. And, you know, when we tailgate, you know, we have the Kane boys, La Familia, everybody out there in the West Side. Like that's what we do, man. And like, we might not see each other all year, but when it comes to football season, like, bro, like, it's like we've never even like skipped a beat. You know what I mean? And to me, that's where your fandom comes in. You know what I mean? Because that fandom turns into a family. You know what I mean? So like, you know, you meet people from time to time, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, the next week, you know, you get introduced to this person, then you get introduced to another person, and then the next month, the next year, and then like, you're just continually building that cycle of relationships, man. Same thing I have done with the players, you know, but you do that with fans as well.
100%, man. And I love that. And look, honestly, we appreciate you a lot. I have one more question. One more. And this is going to be a controversial one. I already know it. People are going to have to answer this. Go ahead and give me your top five Canes of all time.
I mean, it's pretty, like, my top three is solidified no matter what. Vince, Dan Morgan, and Mike Rump. Like, those are my guys, man. Like I firmly believe that, like, I'll start with Dan Morgan. I believe he's the best linebacker to ever play at the University of Miami. I'm talking college-wise.
Yeah,
when you talk about an individual who won all three Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season, that speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. His heart, his attitude, his character, his tenacity, like, all that rolled up into one. Like, Dan Morgan was, like, no doubt the best linebacker to ever play at the University of Miami. Vince is my guy. Like, Vince, I will do anything for Vince. He is probably, like, the greatest human being I've probably ever met in my life, you know. You know, a big teddy bear per se. You know, I've called him Big Daddy, you know, since he stepped on campus. And even now when we're texting back and forth, I call him Big Daddy, you know what I mean? And then Mike Rump, like I said, I'm Mike Rump is something special. When you talk about a true hurricane, that is Mike Rump through and through. That guy loves his school. He loves his alma mater. He loved playing for the U. And you can just see that, you know, in him. And him and I built relationship, again, going back to, like, 99. So those are three of my top, you know, hands down. And then it's where it gets a little tricky, right? Because it's like there's so many good dudes out there. My fourth would probably be a current player, only because it's like uncle to Grayson, which is Andy Borgalis. That is like Uncle Andy for Grayson. Like, that is, you know, him and Jose, like, they treated us. And I've met Andy when he was a junior in high school, and this was before Jose even transferred from FIU. But we've built a strong, like, family connection with his parents, and as well as, like, Marie and Grayson and myself. So, you know, Andy is definitely up there as one of my top five. You know, and again, it's hard to say. Like, if I had to go for, like, a favorite player, probably my last one would be Benny Blades. Like, me and Benny just, you know, he's an old head, man, but there's just something about Benny. We still talk to this day. Like, he kind of exemplified that back end of, you know, people are going to say Sean and Ed and all these other guys, right? Which, again, I could name those too, but, you know, I would probably go, you know, Vince, Dan, Mike, Andy, and Benny is probably my top five.
All right. Some people might not like those answers. Yeah. But I respect it. I'm not saying I agree, you know, or disagree.
I mean, because again, it's like, how do you define, and every individual is going to have their top five players.
100%.
Right?
100%.
So, and I just looked at personal relationships that I have with some of these guys. And again, being around the program for so long, you get to, you know, see and meet so many different people, even coaches. Like Mario Cristobal, like, people want to knock on him for what happened and some of the things that happened last year during the season. But you look what this man is building at the University of Miami. You talk about 5-7 his first year. Last year, and again, that 5-7 season, you're getting beat by Middle Tennessee State. You're getting beat by Duke. But then you go in the second season, you look at, they could have won almost every single game they played in last year. They were in every game. And then you look at year three, and you look at what the foundation that he built from year one to year two to year three. And obviously, look, Florida's having a down year, but you're still playing an SEC opponent in away in the swamp, and you went and you handled that, right? Again, I want to see the next 4 or 5 weeks and see how it continues. But Mario Cristobal is building something special here at the University of Miami.
What you said about the Miami and Florida game, you know, it's still an SEC opponent. They're in a down year, and they handled them. I agree with you in every word of that. Another thing I'll add to that is they did what they're supposed to do, right? You look at the team, you look at the roster we built, and you look at years before. How many times have we gone into a game where, like, you know what, we're supposed to roll this team and we don't?
Right. I mean, I think I mentioned this the other night to somebody. I think 2009 is the last time we went on the road for a big time game and won, and it was up in Florida State. I think we won 38-34, but you know, that was Ja'Cory Harris and those guys up there. But you look at 2018 against LSU, didn't happen. 2019 against Florida,
Dude,
didn't happen. I mean, it's
last year against Florida State, we almost pulled it off, man.
yeah, but it wasn't like an opening win on the road. You know what I
It
mean?
wasn't.
So, and again, last year, you know, you went up there and you obviously look, you're friends with Tyler, and I wish him all the best at Wisconsin. But you know, you went into that game last year at Florida State with Emery, you know, being your starter quarterback, and it was close. The game, the score was close. But some of the throws, you know, again, I call a spade, getting that ball to Jacoby that threaded through two defenders, could have been knocked down, that goes 85 yards. Like, those are some of the things you look at. Like, the ball gets knocked down, now you're punting the ball, so you don't get that score, right? But again, what you have this year roster-wise is still night and day what you had last year, like night and day. You know, you look at the size of the offensive line. You look at the size and the depth on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. You look at Cam Ward, who can just extend plays. And to me, he was so disrespectful to the Florida defense the other day, just by casually, you know, scrambling and just stepping out of bounds. Like, he literally was just being disrespectful to them. But then, listen, you got people like X, like, who can't be guarded. I don't care what you do there. X is a dog, and I hope that he has a tremendous year this year, breaks the records. And you know, I would love to see that guy, you know, get an opportunity to go to the combine, you know, maybe get drafted in the second, third round, you know, because I think he has that you know, possibility. But I'll tell you this, what I was really impressed with this past week was watching Elijah Arroyo finally healthy and being able to make strides and showing people what he's actually capable of doing.
It is so funny that you mentioned Elijah Arroyo because he is actually, I just interviewed him and his episode is going to drop Saturday. And it's because of exactly what you just said.
I mean, he's been hurt for 2 years, right? But to be able to see him healthy, and I remember when him and Will Mallory came in, it was like, okay, this is gonna be a 1-2 punch. Obviously, you had Brevin, Will, then Arroyo came in. It's like, bro, we're not gonna miss a beat here. And then he got hurt, you know, year after year. But to be able to see him healthy and finally being able to see what he can actually do on the field, again, that's just a testament of what Mario is doing here, right? You know, and Mario's bringing in other guys to push the competition. Because Green Tree used to always be about competition. Iron sharpens iron. And if, you know, you talk to the old heads, like, they were scared to come off the field if they jammed their finger or they got dirt in their eye. Because they felt like, if I come off the field, I might not get back on the field because the guy behind me is not giving that spot back up. And this is where I think Mario is bringing that mentality. Because again, Mario's been there. You know, he knows what the blood, sweat, and tears is on Green Tree. He knows what it takes to be a champion. You know, he's earned it. So I got to give a shout out to that for
100%. Well,
that.
hey, Derek, I really appreciate you, and I know the guys appreciate you as well. Look, you're one of the best fans I've known, and I truly believe you're more than a fan. You're a friend, and you're a friend to a lot of these Canes players, a lot of them, former and current. And we appreciate you. I truly, truly mean that.
Yeah, man. So let me ask you a quick question before we jump off. I see you're coaching now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where are you coaching at? Where are you at?
I'm coaching at a middle school and high school in Dallas, Texas.
That's what's up. So are you planning on staying there for another year? Because obviously, listen, Miami comes to Dallas next year when we go to SMU. So, you know, again, if we come out there, we have to link up if you're still out in that area.
I will let you know here in the next couple months. I don't want to on camera or nothing, but I'll let you know in the next couple months.
So let me ask you one, because how's King doing? Like, obviously, I'm sure you still talk to Derek. Like, obviously, he's, you know, coaching over there at SMU.
I see him every single day. Literally every single day I see him. I
Well,
go to,
tell
of
him I said what's up, man.
course I will. He's doing great. He's loving it. But yeah, look, again, Thank you very much. You know, me and you, obviously, we'll still be in contact. We'll be talking. I just wanted to get on and shout you out. You know, as one of the biggest Kane fan we have out here.
I appreciate that, Ryan.
Of course, brother. Talk to you later.
All right, 3-4, be good.
Yep.